being still in the stature of a perfect man, we're going to read this scripture. Can everybody see that okay now?
Yes.
Even you older ones in the back. Joyce, can you read that? Even you real old ones, huh? You need a hearing aid? Where's Danny? Still sick again? Bless his heart. Okay. All right, so let's read this as the prophet reads it, and you can read it along with me instead of just reading it. But we were studying last Sunday on the stature of a perfect man, beginning at the first part where it's not to the world, it's not to just nominal Christians. This is to the bride. This is to the elect. This is to the ones, hey, buddy. This is to the ones that are in Christ Jesus, because that's what Peter says. Simon Peter, and servant apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So what do we got to do before we even start up the statue of a perfect man? Got to be born again. All right, so you got to be born again. That's the requirement, because you can have some of these virtues and just be as black as soot. Judas had a percentage of these virtues because he was with the 12, but he showed his colors after a while. And, you know what he did. So let's read this like the prophet reads it. So now, let us read now 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, the first chapter portion of it. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I like the way that's stated right there, because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. That's what we were talking about. Faith is the biggest part of the pyramid. It's the foundation that we start with. All right? I like the way that's stated. See, let me read that again. Listen close. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith through the righteousness of God, our Savior in Jesus Christ. Notice, he is saying that I have obtained this faith, and I am addressing this to them that have obtained the like precious faith. All right? So he's talking to a certain group of people. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to a group of people, all right, called the bride. Okay, I have obtained this faith, and I am addressing this to them that has obtained like precious faith. It's not to the outside world. All right, it's not to the outside world. This is to the church. See, those that are in Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'm reading it like he's reading it. For anybody that's on the internet that can't see that, I'm reading it as the prophet's reading it, not as totally as the Bible. But I want to get his comments in there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things, his divine power now has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? These promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now let that soak in real deep now. Not preaching this morning, we're just teaching this lesson. Divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again so you won't miss it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, there's a promise. You've escaped the world, the lust of the world, and that's exactly what we're going to be looking at. We don't like to call it that, just like the other day we didn't like to call things anti. But remember, this is Antichrist. Sorry, this was born against Christ. This was not the way Christ wanted this to come. So it's anti. It's anti-word. We were not born according to the word. Jesus was born according to the word. That's why he was who he was. We were not born according to the word. We were born anti-word. All right, and we have to be, that's why we have to escape this. We have a way of escape. Let's don't leave it hanging that we're anti-word and we'll always be anti-word. No, there's a way back. There's a way to get out of that. All right? And it's true that we escape the world through the lust of the world, as the Bible says. Well, that's what's happening here. You got faith at the new birth. All right? And then it says, add to your faith. In other words, what I said the other day, add to what you believe. Because you can't add to something you don't believe in. You gotta come to faith. That's why Brother Branham said this whole thing is based on faith. You gotta believe that God's gonna do that for you. You gotta believe that He's made a way to do that for you. Okay? And He's made the way because remember, and we were talking a little bit in the minister's meeting yesterday, that Ephesians 1 says, we've obtained an inheritance. Well, we didn't get an inheritance down here. We got our inheritance before the foundation of the world. If we believe that we're predestinated, Jesus come to make a way for us to get out of this anti-word, birth, to be born again. Not of corruptible seed, which is what your mom and daddy brought. Sorry. Corruptible can't be God. All right, so we were born in corruption, but we're going to be raised in incorruption or be changed. And we're not going to be changed unless we have all these virtues working in our life plus the headstone or the seals coming to show us that this guy right here is righteous. What are you if you're born again? You're God in human flesh. But you got to believe that. Your mind's got to be changed to the mind of Christ. Because you are God made manifest in another form. If you have the new birth, you're God in human flesh. So it's not that God's got a problem living in human flesh. He does not. But the problem is us. He's perfect, trying to work on something imperfect. And He's not trying, He is. He is working on it. And that's what the little song, He's Still Working on Me, to make me what I ought to be. Okay? But we got to realize that we just don't come into the message and then we just get born again and then we just sit there. Yeah, you're born into the kingdom, but you're just like the prodigal son. Remember, the prodigal son wasn't a bastard child. He was a son. He wasn't lost. Come on now, he wasn't. He was a son. He backslid. Went away from the promise of God or the promise of his father, right? But he was a son. And because he was a son, he come back. Because God called him back. We see that's an allegory or a type. So let's see that even as born again Christians, we do things wrong. We do live in a world of lust of this thing and lust of that thing. It doesn't have to be just lust of what first thing comes to your mind. But we can have lust for other things. And God wants to cut that away because we do. We live in this earthy flesh. And it's always going to be earthy. Until we're changed, or as we were preaching the other day about the purging, you're either going to be purged one of two ways. You're either going to die and resurrect, and that purges you from your old man, or you're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye on this side. But this is going to change this thing before it goes. Like Brother Branham always says, and Claude brought it to my attention a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me. Because he said, this thing's going to be sticky right to the change. And it is. You're going to have to fight this thing right here. Sister Trudy gave me a book on the journey of Israel, how Israel got started way back. I'm talking about way back even in David's time. Well, he breaks down David's era, and it's true. Because of what David did, God said, you'll fight your way. So for 40 years, David fought battle after battle. But now he was victorious. But he still had to fight. Now watch Joshua. The first time he gets into the kingdom, God said, here's your promised land. It's flowing with milk and honey. What's the first thing he done? He had to start fighting people. So this is a battle. The Bible says that the kingdom is obtained by force. We have to obtain this by force, not just get born again and say that's it. No, once you get born again, you just are able to begin to fight. There's no fight when you're not born again. Remember, there was no white dog, black dog when the black dog was the one that was ruling. But once you get the two in there, they're fighting back and forth. And which one we feed the most is the one that wins, right? But we have a way out. We have a way of escape. We have a way to get out of all this. All right, but it's going up to statue of perfect man. It's not just saying I'm in the message, and I sit in the message church. You can sit there all day. You can sit in the church for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, and still die and go to hell. Or are you going to die and go by the grave, and somebody's going to have to resurrect you? But somebody's going to come, and you say, well, I can't do this. Well, you just stopped yourself. you say, I can't do it, then you might as well just quit because you can't. But you just got to keep struggling, keep fighting. Like I said about David, and I believe that's why that remember the Bible promises that in the millennium that the son of David will sit on the throne because Solomon was the son of David. He was prosperous. He didn't fight wars. That all was done by his daddy to acquire all this land, and all, he had to fight all these people. And even in that book, Trudy, did you read that book where he said that even that David, now remember, he killed Goliath, which was a Philistine, and they almost wiped that army out. But you see him about 10 years later, the Philistines are helping him get back into Judea. So he was a diplomat. He could get you to do things, and that was the anointing that David had. He had that anointing. He could get people, the people that he destroyed, he got them to help him. But see, that's what David was. He was a type of Christ, and that's the same way. But that's why he got a promise that in the millennium, the son of David's going to sit on the throne ruling peacefully for 1,000 years. Okay? It's not going to be David sitting there, but it's the type. Showing that David fought for every inch. You and I are going to fight right up to the time we get out of here. But once we get in the millennium, well, see, it's not the millennium's not even to us. It's to the Jews. Because we're going to sit with him in the temple and rule for 1,000 years. Right? We're going to be the queen. He's the king. The Jews are going to, the 144,000 is going to be the eunuchs, the temple eunuchs. And then there's going to be tribes. Remember Dad preaching on it? There's tribes going to be out there in the millennium. It's not just going to be us. Because it is to Israel. The millennium is to Israel. We're just there on a honeymoon. And I found out something about, since we're starting to have honeybees, you know where the word honeymoon came from? Thank you, sister. Ginger, you see what I have to put up with? I know. But anyway, yeah, y'all put up with it too, I'm sure. The word honeymoon has nothing to do with your honey. Sorry. Honeymoon, back in the whatever century it was, before that it was just the consummation of the wedding. Was the honeymoon. It wasn't called a honeymoon. So back a couple of thousand years ago, this was before even Christ, they would take honey and ferment it and make mead, liquor, wine. Make honey wine. And you can make honey wine. They told us if it was too much moisture, that would turn into wine and you'd have honey wine. So they would make honey wine, in the olden days, and they would give it to the husband and wife when they got married, and they would drink it for a month from one moon to the other moon for conception purposes. And it helped them have a boy and not a girl. Therefore, it was called a honeymoon. There's where the word honeymoon comes from. So, see there? You learn something today. Might not learn another thing about the statue of a perfect man, but you sure know what a honeymoon is. Praise the Lord, we had a sex education class last Sunday, so we might as well ended up with a honeymoon. There's a lot of things you can do with honey. They didn't hear that, did they? Oops. Where was I? No, let's talk about the world. We've escaped the world. Now look what Brother Brown says in paragraph 37. See the world, we've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, is to find out what is the way, what is God's requirement. So this is a requirement. These virtues are a requirement. It's not something that just fills up space in the Bible. But realize one thing for sure, we're in the end time with the fullness of the word. They didn't have the fullness of the word in the first church age, but they had all these virtues, the prophet said, working in their life. See how short we are? See, we want to be all revelated and get all the seals and everything, but we can't live a good Christian life. Do the right things. Say the right things. Be the right example. They were the right example, and then God could seal it with that Holy Spirit up here, not the Holy Ghost you received down here. It's not two different Holy Ghosts, but it's more. We'll get to later on where Brother Brown said that Holy Spirit up there on the top of that pyramid, it seals all these virtues in. Because, see, you can have the new birth here and go all the way up here and not make it to, say, patience or temperance. Well, if that's as far as you go, as far as you go. But you're not going to reach perfection. Okay? You're not going to reach perfection. You got to go. That's why I said, look, it says, it's not man's requirement. It's not the prophet's requirement. It says, what is God's requirement? So it's required that these virtues work in our life. All right? That's why the Ephesian church was a powerful church, a huge, huge church. 12 people. There was 12 people in a room. And they were a powerful church. Why? They had all the virtues working in their life.
Were they sticky till they died?
Sure they were. Sure they were. Yeah, they were sticky, but they weren't as sticky as they used to be.
No.
That's the best thing to say is you're not as sticky as you used to be. Okay? But these are requirements. Does everybody understand? These are required. They're not just something we're going through just to be going through for the 25th time. It says, this, what is God's requirement? There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Now, it's laid out here. Every Christian, I'm an old veteran. Look at brother and sister Kid here. They're probably the oldest in the building. If I'd ask them, what is your heart's desire? It'd be closer to God. When you learn of Christ, there's something about him that's so loving, you just try to get right into him. And then he expresses that by his wife, saying that he loved her so much he wanted to just pull her inside of him. But you can't do that. But Christ can do it to us. He can be that husband that loves his wife so much, and he does. And he does protect us from the world. Let's read this right here. I want to read this. Right here. Paragraph 45. That's the way it is with Christ. See, we've got to be so in love with him to when we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit. So as we go through this study, say, God, I want virtue, I want virtue, I want virtue, and then you're still the same. What are you going to do? Quit and say, God, why are you not? No, you just keep going. You just keep going. Keep going. When he says no, in other words, like I told you, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Because you may be wanting to obtain virtue this way, just using for an example. You may be wanting to find, say, well, God, I need virtue, so I'm going to do this. But God's way's over here. And you're over here beating your head against the wall, and God's saying, no, that's not right. So, try something else. You say, that's so simple. Well, Brother Branham said, if you were stingy, what'd he say? Give money away. If you were stubborn, start giving stuff. What? He said, do the vice versa. So if you're mean and if you're mean to your wife or if you're mean to your husband, that's wrong. Quit doing that. Just quit doing it. Do the vice versa. Quit being mean to each other. And I'm talking about mean. I ain't talking about having fusses and fights and arguments. I'm talking about being just mean to people. You just being mean ain't got nothing to do with this statue of a perfect man. It really doesn't have anything to do with the Lord. Just don't be mean. Don't be spiteful. We already went through all that. But look, see why? And the only way we can do that is become partakers of his divine nature. So the only way we're going to ever get right is to be born again. The only way we're ever going to get right is to be born again. Then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you, partakers of his divine nature. And look here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, escaped it. See who it's to? It's to the church. Them who are in Christ has been exalted above these things. Not he exalting himself. Because you're going to try your best to get up here and then one day you're going to fall. But if he takes you up there, and like we were talking about in a Sunday school class, it's a birth. Virtue is a birth. Because it's something you're contrary to. You're contrary. You're contrary to all these virtues or you wouldn't need them. Okay? You're contrary to them. So you're contrary to them. You need these virtues. So God's going to help you through them, but you can't do it yourself. And it be godly. You can try your best. But still, somewhere down the line, it's like Daddy was talking about, you know, the example was talking about somebody slapping him. Said he don't think he could ever take anybody slapping him. Well, somebody at General Motors 20-something years ago slapped him. And he saw it was gone. The anger didn't raise up. The you know, I'm going to hit you back or I'm going to get you back. No, it was gone. So once it's gone, then you say, thank you, God, and you can lock that in and you can have what? Faith. You don't stop having faith down here. Now, remember, one more time, these lines are just lines of separating each word. Actually, there's no line. This is the way it ought to be right here. And write faith, write virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Because you're going to need it all the way up. And you're going to get a percentage of brotherly kindness. Because you know what? When you get born again, you're going to start loving the people that love you first. All right? Then you got to start loving the people that don't love you. Right? That's the development, is to love the people that don't even like you at all, or even people you don't want to be around. All right? So same thing with knowledge. God, when he burst you into the body of Christ, the first thing God started doing for me was he started putting a word together. I heard the word when I was 14 years old in this church. Sat here till I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Read the books, listened to the tapes, knew what the prophet said. I knew the wild horse rider was the Antichrist, but you know why? That Antichrist was right here. He had not ridden away from my revelation, because I didn't have one. All I had was the ability to read. And I think that's our problem. We just get the ability to read. Come on. What are we still doing here for 50 years? The prophet brought the pure word of God. Why are we still here? Because we're just reading it like a reading room. And then, it's like Brother Brown said, he said, you don't need a revelation to see water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. It's right there plain in the book. But it does take a revelation to see it, to really see it. So when I came back to the Lord, the first thing the Lord started doing was quickening what I had heard. Is that what the Bible says? Quicken what you heard and teach you things to come. In other words, revelation. He taught me revelation. He taught me the serpent seed wasn't just sex in the garden. It come all the way from the mind of Eve all the way down to here, and then we got to go back to destroy that. Okay? So it's not just that Eve didn't eat an apple. See, I think we use that a lot of times, and we go, we know something you don't know. Well, that's not right to be that way. Because it says right here, not he exalted himself, but Christ brought him up. All right? Everybody got that? Christ has got to do it. So it's not just not what you do. You say, well, you just told us to do the vice versa. That's for you to start with. You got to start somewhere. If you're stubborn and continue to be stubborn, God can't deal with you. But if you can say, God, I'm tired of being stubborn. I'm tired of being stubborn. Then he can start working on you. Well, just turn around and quit being stubborn for a little while. Try it yourself. This is not reformation. This is not Alcoholics Anonymous, where they suppress your feelings so that you're once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. No. You get born again, all that goes away. All right? Truly born again, all that will go away. Now, here I said truly born again. All right? Now, let's read right here. Look at paragraph 49. Now, remember, this was the old colored sister said, I ain't what I want to be. Ain't what I ought to be, ain't what I want to be, but ain't what I used to be. Look what Brother Ram says. That's how we know we've passed from death unto life. See, we got to know that, church. We can sit here and we can go through this, and it's just a good Sunday school class, and it'll give you a feel good if you want to, and it'll condemn you if you want to, but you got to pass from death unto life to even start understanding, all right? We look back to the pit where we was hewed from, see? We're not what we want to be. We're not even what we ought to be. But one thing we're thankful for, we're not what we used to be. That's right. He says, look, we're on the road. Hadn't made it yet, but we are on the right road. Like Daddy said, remember, if we got a ticket to get on the bus and we go to the airport, that ticket doesn't do you any good unless you're standing where the bus is going to be. All right? So we got to be where the bus is going to be. Listen, and having escaped the corruption of the world, having escaped that, the lust and corruption of the world, you're above that. Now that's the type of person that he's talking to, the person that has escaped these things, see, the corruption of the world. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue. and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. It says, now he has given us the outline here, what to do, know how to do it. Now, as I said, we're all trying to come closer to God. That's why I chose this message this morning for the church, knowing that people are traveling. For last night I said, how many is here? And he's talking about from out-of-town people. But there's no great anthem from some pretending to be angelic choir and some stained glass. You have a hard time getting a seat on a bench and standing around the wall. They don't come for such as that, but they come because the inside of them, it's something that sees a beauty that your natural eye doesn't see. It's a spiritual eye that catches the beauty of Christ. That's why they're here. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here to learn about God, learn about what he's done for us. And he even talks about here about how this came. He's talking about 2 times 2 equals 4. But look what he says in paragraph 54. Here's a key right here. Yield yourself. And after a while, you'll break away from yourself. You say, oh, that's for a prophet. Is it? How many times do we truly yield ourselves to God? Come on, how many times do we just say, God, I'm in a corner? I'm sure some of you have. I mean, but we haven't as much as we should. We should yield. You say, well, this is Laodicea, and we got all this, and we got all that, and it's true. We got all these things now that's conveniences, and we still can't find time to serve God. John and Charles Wesley's mother, 17 children. Could you imagine washing clothes for 17 kids? And she spent 2 hours a day teaching them about God. 2 hours a day. No, we got to do this, and we go do that, and I can put it on a list, but you know what? You got your own list. You should know whether you're not doing right. That's what we were talking about last night or yesterday in the ministers' meeting. We were talking about the three comings of God in the end time, but we truly got to realize that God has come in the end time, and He's here to deal with the things that He didn't leave us in Laodicea and say, "Well, y'all just do what the best you can," you know. No, He told some of the other ages, "Do the best you can." Remember, He told them in the fourth age, "You got just a little bit of light. You're just going to barely make it." Why? They were killed, remember? 68 million Christians were killed during the Dark Ages of the time of Columba there in Thyatira, church age. They could just barely make it through. Just say you're a Christian, they'll kill you. They didn't have to worry with virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Sure, they had those things working in their life. But they were required for their age. But this age is required. Statue of a perfect man, and on to the headstone, because here's the real message of the hour. So everything's got to be moving up toward that, is to the headstone. Brother Brown didn't come bring us another message or another God. He restored the faith, remember? The faith of the fathers to the children, right? But he's restoring the what? Faith. What? We lost faith in the Word. You go talk to somebody in the Baptist church or Methodist church and all places like that. Talk to them and see what kind of hope they have. Well, I hope I'm saved. Well, I hope we're going to make it. Well, I hope this president's going to do this. I hope the Pope's going to do this. It's all a hope. They're just hoping. They have no roadmap. Brother Brown said, you got a roadmap. You're on the road now. So we got to get on the right road. And it's like a brother was saying last night, this is kind of a cooling off time. You don't hear many people getting saved. You don't hear many people getting baptized. I mean, it's a big thing to hear one person getting baptized in this church. Where we used to baptize five or six when I first started coming in 98, 99 in there. I was one of them. But now we baptize maybe one or two, maybe three a year. Right? It's a cooling off time. Everything's kind of cooled off. But even during that cooling off time, let's go back to the honeybees. In the wintertime, they're worthless. They don't produce anything. But they're getting that hive ready for the spring. They're inside working. They're not relaxing. They're in there working. You can't see a lot of activity going on because it's inside. Am I making a point here? You don't see a lot going on, but on the inside something's working. Then all of a sudden, when the environment is right, they've got the comb ready. They've got the little bitty worker bees that are in their little larvas, and when they hatch, they go to work. And all the worker bees are women. Praise the Lord. Sisters say, hallelujah. And I'm not going to tell you what she does to the male bee when she gets finished with him. So it's kind of not good for the men. Let's just put it this way. He dies. That's correct.
You can't just say, I'm going to yield myself.
Right, no.
You have to grow every day. You have
That's
to
right.
grow. You know, each women, for me, example, I'm yielding myself more and more.
Right.
I'll give them a whole day. Whatever you have to do, if you have to do laundry, don't bring your cell phone with you.
Right.
Think about him when you're doing your laundry.
Right.
Think about him when you're doing your cooking. Your yielding should be growing.
And sing.
Yeah.
And that's a good point because, look, there are nuns, N-U-N-S, nuns, in convents now. Are you talking about yielding yourself? And they're just as black as soot inside. They're not born again if they take that Catholic doctrine. But they yield themselves to that idea that the Catholic Church is going to save them because of the penance they do. That's why Martin Luther was so important. He said, it's not that. It's not works. It's faith. The just shall live by faith. Right there, foundation. The just shall live by faith. That put Luther in the body of Christ. Now, he didn't have to work on virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Sure, God worked on him in a degree, but he still sat in a pub and drank beer and smoked a pipe. He didn't see that the other things of God were to clean up your life. He just said the just shall live by faith, and that's exactly what happened. During that time, the just lived by what? The faith of God, not the faith in the Catholic Church or the faith in the penance, because Martin Luther himself would drag himself across rocks, lay prostrate for hours, praying with his face in a rock. What? Trying to do penance. Then when that revelation came, he didn't do that no more. He gets up, cleans himself off, and yeah, he does go to a pub and start drinking beer and smoking a cigar and talking about God. But it was the just shall live by faith. Come out of that system. Of course, he was a reformer, not a restorer. He began the act of restoration, but he was a reformer. So he could just reform them to a certain spot. Okay? Wesley could reform to a certain spot. All right? But then we come with the full restoration of the word, and it's restored it back. Restore back to the faith of the fathers. All right? And then go on to the headstone, because it's required in this age. So these are not just something we want to do, it's something we are required to do. All right? So now, one more thing before we go. Now let's just stop right there. We'll read something else next week. If you got the Statue of a Perfect Man book, or if you can look at it online like this, read what he says about faith, because that's what we're going to start on next Sunday, is faith.